Today, we continue our special series, Tracing the Migrant Journey, in which correspondents from the Fronteras Desk explore the path crossed by migrants coming from Central America. Jorge Valencia was with us from Honduras starting this week, and today, KJZZ's Mexico City Bureau Chief Rodrigo Cervantes takes us to an area with historic and commercial ties that's been quickly transforming due to recent migration policies, the Guatemala-Mexico border. Rodrigo, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
So you've been reporting over the past few days in an area that gained a lot of notoriety after the so-called migrant caravans crossed it. So what can you tell us specifically about this area?
Well, there's this town called Ciudad Hidalgo on the Mexican side and Tecunumán in the Guatemalan side. These are two towns divided by the Siuchiate River, but strongly linked by their routes and also by trade. Think about this as a smaller and less wealthy version of the two Nogales. People here cross from one side to the other by foot, by car. They use the bridges here, but they also use rafts to cross the river. And all of this makes it an ideal crossing point for the recent large migrant caravans that we've seen in the past couple of years. This until Mexico placed temporary fences to contain and regulate one of the caravans recently. And you probably remember this story, Steve, in which the caravan actually knocked them down. Let's remember that Mexico allows transitory migrants and refugees into the country, but now requires more paperwork. And that's what the Mexican government was trying to do, try to organize the caravan, but the caravan just couldn't wait.
You spent some time in Guatemala, and that's the only nation so far that has accepted and it's signed an immigration agreement with the U.S. to become what we're calling a safe third country. Now, what does that mean? Define that for us. And what have you heard from the population there as far as their reaction to it?
The agreement arriving from Central America to Guatemala need to apply for asylum in the U.S. They don't have to go to the United States to do so. So many Guatemalans opposed to it. They consider it a violation of Guatemala's sovereignty, and it hasn't been fully implemented yet. Another migration-related factor that it's impacting the area comes from the Mexican side of the border. This is the recently formed National Guard, which is patrolling the area. And also Mexico is having stricter migratory policies to revise documentation. I spoke to Mario Morales. He coordinates a nonprofit helping transitory migrants, and this is what he said.
El migrante está usando ahora otras vías alternas, más peligrosas y con más violaciones a derechos humanos por la situación en que los detienen.
So Morales says that migrants are still crossing Mexico, but through areas that are more dangerous. And he thinks that they're exposed to more crime and to human rights violations now.
And Rodrigo, this is an especially interesting time with Guatemala facing some big political changes. It marked presidential elections last Sunday, and this is really important when it comes to a lot of these policies. Who won the elections, and what's his take on immigration?
Well, it was a former doctor and jail director named Alejandro Giammattei. He won the election, and in fact, this was his fourth attempt. He is a politician inclined to the right. He opposes, for instance, gay marriage and abortion. And speaking about immigration, in recent interviews, he has said that he's against the Safe Third Country Agreement, but he also thinks of developing what he calls a wall of trade and prosperity between Mexico and Guatemala, meaning that he wants to develop the area and to try to stop migrants for going up north and just stay in this border zone and develop it. The community in Tecunumán, what I heard is that there is a strong division on migration issues. Some feel empathy for the undocumented migrants arriving there, but others don't.
And Rodrigo, let me close with this. Your migration policies really affect the dynamics between the border towns that are so intertwined. We've, of course, seen it here in the Arizona-Sonoran region before. But what about the area you visited between Mexico and Guatemala? What stands out there?
Well, Steve, the biggest impact that stricter immigration controls have brought to the area, according to all the people I talked to, is mainly aid and ergo, I would say, on the local economy. Guatemalans go to the Mexican side to buy plenty of goods, which are way cheaper in Mexico, but that has decreased significantly. And the chain effect hits the renters of the rafts, for instance, as they have less customers. Or people like Esther Lopez, who sells street food on the Mexican side of the river, and this is what she told me.
Ha estado bien hasta que llegaron todos los de migración. Los demás, el ejército y la marina, ha bajado bastante la venta,
So Ms. Lopez says that the sales dramatically dropped after the army, the National Guard, and the immigration officials arrived on the Mexican side. And the issue, as I heard, is also concerning the local governments.
Learn more from our Tracing the Migrant Journey series at kjzz.org and follow our correspondent steps through this special coverage on Twitter using the hashtag Migrant Journey. And that is KJZZ Rodrigo Cervantes joining us from the Guatemala-Mexico border. Rodrigo, thanks very much. Take care.
Thank you, Steve.
We are currently tracing the migrant journey as we visit the areas that have become the path for migrants traveling from Central America on their way to reach the U.S. And today I'm joined by KJZZ's Rodrigo Cervantes, who is now in a city in southern Mexico that could be heaven, hell, or someplace in between for thousands of migrants. Rodrigo, good morning.
Good morning, Mark.
So, Rodrigo, tell us a bit more about where exactly you are and why this city has become so important for immigration in Mexico.
Well, unlike other border towns in the area, Tapachula is a large city, and it's close enough to the border with Guatemala, only 20 miles away from it. It's a city that grew in the 1800s, 1900s with coffee production, and probably you and our listeners have heard about the famous coffee from the state of Chiapas, where Tapachula is. But throughout time, it also became the main city connecting Mexico with Guatemala. It is currently the city where the Army, the National Guard, and the Mexican Immigration Institute have their main offices dealing with migration coming from Central America. And that includes the main migratory stations, for instance, where many undocumented migrants are held, as well as offices for those applying for asylum or refugee status.
So what was the impact of President Trump's demand to stop migrants from arriving to the U.S. at this border area?
Well, a couple of months ago, Trump threatened on Twitter to impose tariffs to Mexican goods unless Mexico stopped the flow of migrants coming from Central America to the United States. The Mexican government yielded, and among the visible actions here is the deployment of the newly created National Guard, which is supervising the border as well as the airport and some roads. The Mexican Immigration Institute also reinforced its operations to verify that migrants carry the proper documentation or are registered as refugees or transitory migrants. The president, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, he says that his government is rescuing migrants, but critics say that he has turned Mexico into Trump's wall.
Well, and Rodrigo, considering these changes in Mexico's immigration tactics and policies and the fact that large migrant caravans are not crossing at the moment, are migrants still arriving at Mexico's southern border?
Well, according to the Mexican government, migration heading to the U.S. dropped 39% from May to July as a result of the actions they have been taking. And I spoke to Jorge Benito Meléndez. He administrates a migrant shelter here in Tapachula called Jesús el Buen Pastor. And he says that the number decreased significantly compared to the era where massive caravans were passing through. But migrants keep coming, even from the U.S., and here's his explanation.
Pasa un año o seis meses preso en Estados Unidos y de ahí lo deportan. Es un daño psicológico para el inmigrante porque sufren una discriminación.
So Melendez says many migrants that wait for months, even a year at the U.S. border for asylum, end up coming back or being deported, feeling discriminated and with psychological damages. And at the shelter, you can also witness what the Mexican government has said before. There's an increase of migrants that are not Central American, but they're actually from India, Africa, and Caribbean nations like Haiti and Cuba.
Well, what happens to those migrants once they reach this point in Mexico? I mean, what have you heard?
Well, by law, migration in Mexico is not criminalized, and migrants can stay to live and work. But law also requires them to be properly registered as transitory migrants or refugees. I spoke to Alejandro Lozada. He's a Cuban doctor. He's a migrant, and he's been stranded here in Tapachula for about 4 months. And this is what he said.
Es bien difícil. Por eso queremos irnos de acá, para buscar algún tipo de mejora. Y otros, bueno, subir a la frontera y...
Lozada says life is hard in this town. He has no work, it's a very poor city, and many like him are just waiting to get their migrants' IDs to either move to another city or to keep their journey to the U.S. And Lozada, like many others I spoke to, thinks that the Mexican government is just buying time to disencourage them or eventually deport them.
All right, that is KJZZ's Rodrigo Cervantes on the Guatemala-Mexico border. Rodrigo, thank you.
Thank you very much.
And you can follow our Tracing the Migrant Journey series from KJZZ's Fronteras Desk online at journey.kjzz.org. Tomorrow, we'll hear from KJZZ's Kendall Blust in central Mexico in Sinaloa.